it's her fault. All hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And throughout eternity I'll sing his praise. And we have come to this place this morning to give him honor and praise and glory for what he has done in our lives. Aren't you glad you're here today? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes.
Good morning, Crossville Church. Man, the way you all are singing, you can't even tell you lost an hour of sleep. You all are bright-eyed and bushy-tailed today, and that's good. But thank you for being here. Thank you for everybody joining us on Facebook. Please comment. Let us know you are worshiping with us. As we always ask you to do, and we're glad you're joining us. Choir practice tonight at 5 p.m. It says in parentheses it will be a little longer tonight, so if Marcy keeps you too long, make her buy you dinner. But I didn't clear that with her before I said it. But no, you all are getting ready for Easter, and that'll be a good time. The small group will be meeting here, the Good News Classroom small group at 6. The Peavine group will not be meeting this evening. Church board meeting tomorrow night, 6:30 in the conference room. Wayne has your packets, so see him on your way out the door, board members, and get the info. Of course, Wednesday night, normal activities at 6 p.m. We will have a ladies' ministry meeting this next Saturday morning, 9:30 a.m. in the basement fellowship hall here in this building. And I'm sure Linda, I did not check, but I'm sure she has a sign-up sheet on their ladies' table out as part of the ministry fair. There will be a Sunday school teachers meeting next Sunday morning after church down in the Family Life Center, but food will be provided. So you all at least will get an incentive to hang around and be talking about different resources that are available to you as teachers. And so I know that will be a very helpful meeting for you all to learn more about kind of what's available for your classes. I've mentioned for several weeks now that we do have the continuous prayer list and the church calendar that we refresh each month. And so the one for March is out in the foyer, should have been in some of your Sunday school classes as well. And so we do have the prayer request box out in the foyer. And so if you know of a prayer need, of course, you can let the church office know, or you can also drop it in that box, and then it will be updated and put on that monthly list. Today is the second and final Sunday for our ministry fair. Appreciate all the people from different departments who have put together the boards and the tables and all the displays to talk about the different things we do. Of course, I know many of you all have already had a chance to peruse those last week, but if you haven't, please make sure that you pass through this afternoon and see what is available and see how you can get plugged in with some of these ministries. A lot of them are things we've done for a long time, and a lot of them are new. Some of them are things that go on year-round, like the men's or the ladies' ministries, and some are the Christmas toy store that we do one time. But it's encouraging to see so many boards and know about how many different things we have going on within the church. But all those things can only be pulled off because of you and because of your help. And so we appreciate all the things you do, and also be excited to see what new things that that can happen in the year ahead. So make sure you hit that on the way out the door. And as part of that, there are nominating committee forms on the church board's display, which is out in the foyer. You'll see it as you go out the double doors. And so pray about your leadership in the church for the coming year. Grab one of those forms and fill it out. Bread Alive also has sign-up sheet for their next meal on their table, which is also out in the foyer. So please sign up if you can come help put that together and or if you can provide some of the ingredients for that meal. So many of you all have already brought in candy for the Easter egg hunt, and we do appreciate you all doing that. However, bring in more. So as you're back in the store this week, get another bag and drop that in when you're here throughout the week or next Sunday. But we appreciate you all for doing that and are excited about the Easter egg hunt and hope to make a lot of kids very happy and make an impact on their lives by having them here. All right, I believe that's all I have. Thank you all for being here today.
Stand with me this morning as you're able. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for another opportunity to gather in your house. God, it's good to be in your house today, and we're thankful that we have the health. We're thankful that we have the ability to be able to be in your house. God, this morning we've come to this place for a very specific purpose. That purpose is to point our praise and our worship back to you. And so, God, this morning as we engage in worship, I pray that you would help us to remember that the one that we worship is the one who hung the stars in the sky, the one who holds the sparrow in flight, and you are very, very concerned about the lives of your children, and so I pray that you would help us to remember that today as we worship you. God, in this moment to come, I pray that you would bless and undertake in ways that only you can, and God, we'll be very careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are a voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. Fields are as white in the world, and we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. So lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
You know, I don't know if you know the history behind the idea of the year of Jubilee, but for the Israelite people, the year of Jubilee was a time that they could look forward to. It was a time when they were freed from the bondage that they faced. Slaves were set free. Debts were paid. It was a time for these people where they could eagerly hope and expect for a brighter future. I said that to say this. The world that we live in is obviously in chaos. You don't have to look very far to see that. This is a sidebar, but there aren't any politicians that are going to fix that. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but that was free. You don't have to pay me for that. But what I'm saying is this. As Christians, we have something that others don't have. We have a future and a hope. We have the ability to place our hope in a God who is living and active. He's not dead. You can go to the tomb of Buddha. You can go to where Muhammad is laid. You can go to all these different places, and you can see the bones of the prophets of these various religions. But the God that we serve is a God who's alive and well on planet Earth. And I'm so thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful for the fact that we, as Christians, have a year of Jubilee that we can look forward to. And while right now may seem like it's a crazy time in our world, I'm thankful that we can trust in the fact that God is working behind the scenes to restore the world to its originally intended state. And so I just want to share that this morning. I think it's important for us to understand what it is we're singing about. When we sing about a living hope, it's not something that's just empty. It's something that's active and present. And I'm really thankful for that. So let's sing together.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished. The end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, this morning for your faithfulness. We have not walked alone. You have been with us. You have led us. You have guided us. Lord, there have been times that we didn't know where we were going or what we were doing, but thank you, God, that you knew the beginning from the end. And so we give you glory and honor and praise this morning for the God that you are to us. Not the God that just has been, but the God that you are, a very present help to us even now. So, Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise. We're grateful that we can come to this place and we can hear from your word, and we ask you, God, this morning, that as your word is proclaimed, that it would be the words of God and not just the words of William. May our hearts and lives be touched. May we be helped. May we be challenged. Lord, may we be convicted if we need that this morning. For your word tells us that those that you rebuke and you chasten, that you love them. Sometimes that chastening may not be pleasant, but it's not done just because you want to punish us. You want to draw us into a closer relationship with you. And so, Lord, we're grateful for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your healing touch. Lord, there are those of our congregation that need that healing touch this morning. And we do pray for them. And ask you, God, that you would bless and help and touch as only you can. And now, Lord, go with us as we go into this part of the worship service, a time in which your word is proclaimed. May we be faithful to speak your word. But, Father, may we be faithful this morning to hear your word and faithful to go out of here to respond to your word. And for what you're going to accomplish in our hearts and our lives this morning, we give you praise, honor, and glory. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may never have had this problem, but there are times that I get all tangled up in what I'm trying to say, and I just did that because I should have told you that I'm speaking to you from Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. 2 weeks out of the pulpit will do that to you. How about that? Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to begin with verse 7 here in just a few moments. Isn't it amazing sometimes how we get all tangled up in our words and we speak and end up not being clear about what we're trying to say? Back when I was in my first pastorate, there was a little print shop in downtown Russellville. I went down there to get my first business cards made up, and as I was in there, I saw a poster. And I asked for a copy of that poster, and I'll be honest with you, I looked for it to bring it up here this morning to show it to you, and I guess after 40 years of ministry, it has gotten misplaced somewhere. But anyway, I know what it says because I memorized it. And when you hear it, you may want to get a copy of this and memorize it yourself, especially the men that are in here. Here you go. I know that you believe you understand what you think I said, but I'm not sure that what you understood is actually what I meant. You'll catch that in just a moment. You know. Wow. I know you believe you understood what you think I said, but I'm not sure that what you understood is actually what I meant. Have you ever been misunderstood? Are you married? I didn't say that. That was a lady that said that, okay? So, you know, don't be sending me ugly emails or anything, you know. I've noticed that people misunderstand in all kinds of different places. I mean, we misunderstand at work. We misunderstand at home. We misunderstand at school. I'll never forget being on a work and witness trip in Tampico, Mexico, and we were there to dig the foundations for this church that was going up there, and so our interpreter had not arrived early enough, and so we were there, and the minister of construction, that's what we called him, the minister of construction was there, and he went up and showed us. He said we needed three, he, you know, as well as he could, three by three by three. And so we thought this is going to be a piece of cake. We get out there and we dig nine holes, 3 feet by 3 feet by 3 feet. There were about 20 of us up there on site. And so we go, we are so proud of ourselves, we have completed that task. We go to get the minister of construction, we bring him back up there, and he looks at it and he goes, no, meters. Yeah, 3 meters by 3 meters by 3 meters. That was a little different than 3 feet by 3 feet by 3 feet. We misunderstood exactly what he was trying to say. We hear sometimes a preacher or we hear a teacher say something, and somewhere between the speaking and our hearing, there is something that happens, and we misunderstand things, and they get all jumbled up. Well, this is especially true, I think, when it comes to involvement in the local church. Somewhere along the line, I think we have missed what the Apostle Paul was really trying to say to us in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part sits in the pew. Is that what it says? As each part does its work. I want to tell you, I went around this morning and took pictures. I got here Tuesday. We weren't, as you know, I for the past 2 weeks have been sitting at home watching. And last Sunday morning, I really felt pretty good. The doctor had said, you know, you're still under quarantine, those kind of things. And so I didn't want to come and have a bunch of people get COVID. And that was my first time to have it. It ain't no fun. You know, it's not any fun at all. But I came in Tuesday morning, and as I began to walk through here, I had not seen any of this. And so as I began to walk through all this, I'm going to tell you, I was impressed. These are some of the best displays as far as the ministry of the church that I've ever seen. And I walked over here and I looked at all of them. And this morning I went and I took pictures of all of them so that we'll have them. I've done that at every ministry fair that I've ever had in a congregation. I believe it's a wonderful opportunity for you to be able to look and to see what is going on in your church. What is going on in your church? And when I walked over here Tuesday, I'm telling you, I was impressed. I looked at all of them, but there was one thing that did bother me as I looked at all of them. All of them, for the most part, have sign-up sheets. And so because you didn't sign up last Sunday, you're getting this message today. Only a couple of sheets had people signed up on them. At the church board display out there, there are some nominating committee forms and volunteer forms, and those we hand out every year, and we're doing that early this year. And next Sunday morning, you're supposed to take that nominating committee form and have prayed about it and filled it out, and that volunteer sheet, you're supposed to pray about it, fill it out, bring it back next Sunday morning. It's important. This is part of the whole process. And I want to share with you this morning that I think and I believe that there is this misunderstanding about the work of the church. We've developed either one of two philosophies, okay? We've either developed a philosophy that it is up to those who are quote-unquote hired by the church in order to do the work of the ministry. And too often what happens is the congregation comes in and you become an audience. You become observers of what is happening rather than active participants in the work of the church. That's a wrong assumption. That is a wrong way of looking at things. Or the second thing that bothers me almost as bad as the first one is that we have this I've served my time mentality. Can I tell you what that sounds like? That really sounds like I've served my time in prison. I've paid my debt to God. And so, therefore, I'm just going to sit and do nothing. Both of those thoughts, both of those ideas are wrong. I had someone tell me just a couple of weeks ago that the word retire does appear in the Bible. That really shocked me when I realized that. And you find it in Numbers chapter 8, verse 25, and there it's speaking of the Levites. So when they told me, being the good pastor and theologian that I am, I went and got all the commentaries that I could look at to find out what that was talking about. Because I have talked for years about this phrase, why retire when you can reenlist? So I wanted to find out what was going on. So I go in there and I look and come to find out that the Levites, those who were going to be priests, they served in their position from the age of 25 to the age of 50. And at 50, they retired. The reality of it was for 5 years from the time that they were 25 until they were 30, they had to have a kind of a training period. They went through an apprenticeship. And then at 30, they began to serve. But the 50 interested me because I'm a little bit further along than that. And if that's the case, then I should be enjoying myself. The reason that they retired at 50 was because the lifespan at that point in time was not as long. And can you imagine someone over 50 trying to handle an ox and sacrifice that ox or that ram? I mean, I've gotten a hold of some animals before that I wasn't sure whether they had me or I had them. So you see, even though it talks about retirement there, it was for a specific purpose. You never find that mentioned in the New Testament. Everett Hale, who was the poet and chaplain of the Senate, said, "I'm only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, that I ought to do, and what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I shall do." Many of us are past 50. Somebody came in the other day and said, "Hi, young man," and I almost hugged their neck, I'm telling you. We may not be able to do all that we used to do, but nowhere do we find that the Word of God says that we can sit back and do nothing. And it's my suggestion to you this morning that one of the most important principles that needs to be emphasized in the church today is the principle of every member's involvement in the work of the church. You need to see yourself as part of what goes on here day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And this morning, we're going to look at 2 points. Now that I'm 50, I don't have to have 3. You'll get that in just a minute, okay? This morning, I want us to look at 2 points. And I believe God's going to help us today. The first thing that I want you to notice this morning is every member's involvement maximizes the church's effectiveness. A lot of people would limit their Christianity to simply coming to church and then maybe giving something or participating in the thing, but leaving the work of the church to the preacher and to the other church leaders. There's all kinds of things that are involved in that. But if the church is going to be effective in what it does, it cannot be left up to 1 or 2 or 3 or 4, even 12 people to be able to do. I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm going to ask you 3 questions here real quick. And before you say amen, I'm going to tell you what amen means. Okay? Amen means I stand in agreement. That's when people amen a preacher, what they're saying is, I stand in agreement with what he's saying. Or when you say amen at the end of the prayer, you're saying, God, that is the way it is. I stand in agreement with you that this is going to be accomplished. Or I stand in agreement with you that I am what I am. And God, I need to do something about that. So when we say amen, we're basically saying, I stand in agreement with what is being said. So do you believe that the work of the church is of eternal importance? That was a little slow. Do you believe this morning that God has gifted each individual to serve with various talents and abilities that he has given? Amen. Do you believe that every Christian, this is where we're going to lose some, okay? Do you believe that every Christian has some level of responsibility in this thing? Amen. You see, I do. And I want you to understand this morning that as we become a congregation where all the membership really has some sort of ministry and some sort of involvement, that we're not just coming to fill a pew But we have people who are coming to do the work of the ministry. You see, it's not just the pastors who do the work of the ministry. I've always hated for people to ask me, are you the minister down at the Church of the Nazarene? And when they have asked me on occasion, I have said, yes, I'm one of them. Because that's the truth. I am one of those who minister on a weekly basis. You see, I believe when we start to look at this thing of ministry in the church, when we pull back and we don't get involved in some form or fashion, please understand, it hurts the ministry of the church. I believe it handicaps the ministry of the church. When we get involved and when we participate, we're able to reach lost people. It's amazing to me, even this week, I heard of someone who is connected with a ministry in our church that got saved. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't you like to have been a part of what was going on there and seen it happen? I mean, you begin to think about that. One of the things that is so important, we are not here just so that we can get to heaven. I'm telling you, if Crossville First Church of the Nazarene is the only group that makes it to heaven, we're going to be a bunch of lonely people. One of the most blessed things I have ever been a part of, and I'm telling you, you ought to do it at least once in your life. One of the most blessed things that I've ever been a part of is to go to General Assembly. So often all we see is Crossville First Church of the Nazarene or wherever we may be. That's all that we see. We think that's all of it. Please understand, you go to General Assembly and there are 25 to 40,000 Nazarenes who are there from all over the world, and you begin to understand that we're not part of just one local church. We're part of a large denomination, and to hear that group sing Holiness Unto the Lord, it will change your life. Oh my goodness. But it's only as we all get involved that we're really able to maximize our effectiveness in reaching lost people. It's only as we get involved that we can maximize our effectiveness in serving our community. Oh, please understand, we're not just here so that we can serve each other. We are here in order that we might do something to impact our community for the sake and the gospel of Jesus Christ. You go back into the book of Acts, or you go back into the book of Acts here from Ephesians. In fact, if you go back to the book of Acts, you're going to find that there was a problem there in the church. And I preached about this before when we were going through the book of Acts. How that some of the Grecian Jewish women, the widows, were being left out of the food service. And it made this big conflict in the church. And so the apostles came together and they said, it's not right for us to give up the ministry of the word to serve tables. Now, they weren't saying we're too good to serve tables. They were saying there are other things that need to be done. And if our church is going to be effective, it's going to be because we all do something. We may not be able to do what we used to do. We may not be able to do what somebody else can do. But we can get involved. We can get involved. I read this years ago. There's a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to do, and everybody was asked to do it. Everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody would do it, and nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. I believe that every person in this room has been gifted by God to do something in the kingdom of God. I mean, folks, we've got to move beyond this mentality of saying, well, that's for somebody else. I'm going to say this, and I hope you hear my heart in this. Several weeks ago, somebody said, Pastor, I heard that you're canceling the choir. That you are, speaking specifically to me. And I said, no. Made me very angry, just to be honest. Because I'm not canceling the choir. But can I say this? If Marcy doesn't have some people show up, it won't be that Marcy or William cancels the choir. It'll be that you cancel the choir. We vote with our feet, folks. We vote by our participation in what we are doing. And so if you want to see a choir here on Sunday morning, then you're going to have to be active in participation. If you want to see MOPS go, if you want to see Trail Life go, if you want to see Bread of Life go, if you want to see all of these things go, vote with your feet and be a part of what's going on. You see, we maximize the effectiveness of the church as we participate in what is going on. But not only do we maximize the effectiveness of the church, but we also maximize our own spiritual growth. The Dead Sea is an interesting thing. It's salty. It contains no plant life. It contains no animal life. It's a strange body of water, and all of this water flows into it. But do you know why it is as it is? Because it has no outlets. Everything that comes in stays in. Nothing is distributed. And folks, if we just sit in the pew and take in and take in and take in and take in, and we never give out in any way, we become like a sponge that is sitting on the kitchen counter that never gets wrung out. Now, I'm going to say this like a good Southerner would say it, because I am one, okay? But do you know what happens when a sponge sits there on the counter and is never wrung out? That sponge will sour. Now, I will give the interpretation of that, okay? That sponge will sour because nothing ever goes out of it. And all of the bacteria and everything that is in there will just sit there and it will sour. And many times, folks, and I'm saying this as lovingly as I know how, many times, if we don't allow Christ to flow through us, we're going to sour on the world. We're going to sour on the church. We're going to sour on everything. You see, the only way that you and I can really grow is not by hoarding. The only way that you and I can really grow is by allowing God to take what He is putting in us and allow it to flow through and flow out of us to other people who are around us. That's the way it works. I mean, there are times that we need to soak in, and I will be honest. I've sat for the past 2 weeks, and I've kind of soaked. And I listened to Pastor Tyler preach a couple of Sundays ago, and then I listened to Pastor Jeff as he preached last Sunday, and today y'all are back to Hamburger Helper. I mean, you know, you've had good preaching 2 weeks, but I've been able to take in. I've been able to nourish my own soul. I've been able to be able to say, God, you're speaking to me, and through all of these sermons that I've listened to over the past 2 weeks, I mean, it's been good for me, because sometimes I take in and take in, and then sometimes I give out and give out and give out until I'm given out. You're not ever going to grow if you don't begin to stretch yourself in ways that you didn't think you could. In the Old Testament, there were only certain things that the priest could do. Okay? In the Old Testament, only the priest could go into the Holy of Holies. But you begin to read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10, and you find out that now we are a holy priesthood. That's what he says. That's what Peter says. And so therefore, as we talked about on Wednesday night, now you and I have the opportunity to step into the very presence of God. And that's not going through some curtain. That's simply just saying, oh God, and boom, you are there. We're called to be people who are living stones, who are building a spiritual house. We have been called out of darkness and into light, and all of this is happening in us so that we can grow up spiritually. The second verse of 2 Peter chapter 2 there says, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. God has something for us to do. For Paul says, therefore, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And then you come to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And Paul says there, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Get this, verse 12. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Go on down to verse 16 of our text this morning. And there Paul says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up as each one does its work. You see, the involvement of every person in this room is vital to the church's success. But the involvement of every person in this room, our involvement in ministry, is vital to our own spiritual growth. I don't want to go to heaven as a baby. I want to go to heaven as a mature Christian that has done what he could do, so that the body of Christ could be built up. Application. I know that you believe you understood what you think I said, but I'm not sure that what you understood is actually what I meant. I got another one that I memorized. We the willing, led by the unknowing, are doing the impossible for the ungrateful. We have done so much with so little for so long, we are now capable of doing anything with nothing. Effectiveness, spiritual growth, it only happens when we're involved. We don't all have the same talents. We don't all have the same giftings. But we all can be involved. You see, and the truth of this is, and it's this next statement that's there on the screen. Without everyone involved, the church can never be what God wanted it to be. It's like trying to walk with one leg not participating. It just doesn't work that way. It's like trying to do something with your hand, with one finger or something not working right. It's hard to do. But more importantly, for you personally, without your involvement, you can never be what God wants you to be. The Apostle Paul is very clear that God has a plan for your life. And God wants you to find what he wants you to do and do it with all your might. Even if you don't really feel comfortable in your own skin sometimes doing it, he wants you to be involved. The Army used to have a slogan, be all you can be. Well, I want to tell you, we need to be all that we can be for God. Amen, William, good preaching. Don't walk up to these displays and say, well, somebody else will do that. You are that somebody. Put that next slide up, Wayne. Do you know what that is? That's not just a PowerPoint slide, incidentally. That is Tetris. I love Tetris. I love watching those things fall and making them go into the right place. I mean, it's a wonderful game. I've never beat it. Evidently, I don't know how to put things in their place. Don't say anything. Leave it alone. But when things go in and they work and they do what they're supposed to do, it is so much fun. And when people in the church participate and are involved, can I tell you who has the most fun? It's not me. It's you. It's you. Because you get to be a part of something much bigger than you are. Much bigger than Crossville Church. You get to be a part of what God is doing in this world to reach and win the lost. Oh, let's get involved. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you, but I'm telling you, there are sheets back there that ought to be filled before you leave this morning. There are sheets that need to be turned in next week for church board and for volunteers. Those things need to be turned in, because without those things being turned in, we can't do what you want to do. Had somebody say to me, "Pastor, why don't we do this?" Well, my response from here on out is, are you going to head it up? I'll never have another suggestion, will I? Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given gifts, that you have given us abilities. You've not just given us those gifts, you've not just given us those abilities so that we can hold them in and we can keep them for ourselves. We never know how what we might do, even though we might consider it very, very small, very, very insignificant, we never know how that's going to touch somebody else's life. We don't want somebody to miss going to heaven because we simply withheld. We all can't do the same thing. We all aren't capable of doing everything these days. But Lord, we can do something. So I ask you, God, that you would help us, that we might move out of our comfort zone so that the church might be effective. But more importantly than that, so that we might be effective in our spiritual growth. We don't want to go to heaven without maturing in our faith. And you have given the means by which we can mature in our faith. So we thank you and we praise you for what you're going to do through this congregation. As we get involved, as we do what you have called us to do, for the sake of the kingdom here in Crossville, but also for the sake of the kingdom around the world, we're raising kids. And one of them might be the next Billy Graham, or one of them might be the next missionary that goes somewhere and does miraculous things because a group of people paid the price, did what they could do. They were involved so that young person, that child could know. We give you glory this morning for what you have done. We believe, God, you have great things in store for us. And we believe, God, you're going to do great things through us. And so we thank you and we praise you for the opportunity to serve you, to be involved in the work of your kingdom. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Tyler has something he wants to share with us this morning.
Joshua chapter 1 verse 9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." When I first began this journey of ministry, I promised God that my family and I would follow wherever He led. Almost 3 years ago, God led us to this church here in Crossville. In recent months, I've felt that God's been leading in a new direction, and I have accepted the call to be the pastor of Pleasant View Church of the Nazarene in Jamestown, Tennessee. I will assume that role beginning the 1st of May. We're so grateful for the Crossville Church and how you have loved us in our time here. I'm thankful for the friendships that I've developed with Pastor William and Miss Mary, even though she smacks us around sometimes, and Pastor Jack as well. I want you to know this decision and the coming transition are certainly bittersweet. as we leave a church filled with loving people and a pastor who I have no doubt that I can count on as a colleague and, more importantly, as a friend. As we begin this process of transition in the coming months, I want you to know that we'll be praying for God's will for the Crossville Church in the days ahead, and we would certainly appreciate your prayers for us. Finally, I want to say thank you for loving me, Brianna, and my girls, and accepting us as part of the Crossville family. We will always be grateful for the time that we've spent here and the friendships that have been built in the process.
Many years ago, I sat in a restaurant in Roebuck area of Birmingham with an older pastor. And he had driven over 2 hours one way just to encourage me and to mentor me. And he did that many times across my ministry in Alabama North District. And I have never forgotten him or what he did for me. It was then and there that I decided that I would do my best As I got older, to mentor and to encourage young pastors. And thus far, I've had the privilege of serving with three young men, four if you count Jack. Three young men, including Tyler, in their early days of ministry. All of them will far excel in their ministry anything that I have ever done in mine. To say that serving with Tyler has been a pleasure is an understatement. So remember back when I saw him at camp that I had determined that I was not going to go to camp, but told Mary, I said, well, I guess I need to go. And he and Brianna and the girls were sitting just across from me over there, and I went and asked, who is he? And that whole process that God worked through to bring us to where we are was nothing short of a God thing. Amen. This is a sad announcement for us. But I want to congratulate Pastor Tyler on receiving a unanimous vote from the congregation at Pleasant View. District Superintendent's been after him for a while, folks, I'm telling you. I had to beat Ron off a couple of times. I believe that the Pleasant View congregation saw in Tyler the qualities that drew him to us and the reason we believed in him more than 2.5 years ago. The next month and a half is going to fly by. And I want us to enjoy the days that we have and thank God for the days that we have had. I am so grateful to Tyler for encouraging me and for being what I needed on some days that he had no idea where I was at. But he'd have something cute to say. I'll never hear anybody say crazy as a runover cat without thinking about Tyler. Bless you. I am proud of him, I'm telling you. I'm proud of Brianna and the girls. What a blessing they have been to us as a church body. We're going to be meeting tomorrow night as a church board and beginning the process. You don't replace people, you just hire new ones. And so we're going to begin that process tomorrow night as a church board. But I am so thankful for the time. And I'm going to tell you, y'all keep your eye on him. If you get the chance one day when this preacher's long gone, call him back as your pastor. Amen. And because one of these days I'm going to either go to glory or go to Alabama. Who knows which, you know. I can't retire. That's true. Amen. I'll pick up a new ministry. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. Remember choir practice this afternoon. If you want to make the choir grow, be here. Amen. We'll see you this evening. God bless you.